If you want to pull out your outline there and your bulletins, we will be going through that. Today we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is a hot topic for some people because there are many, many different opinions about what spiritual gifts are, who has them, how you get them, all sorts of different questions about them. Today we're going to do a pretty broad overview of the topic of spiritual gifts because we're going to be delving into them in detail the next 3 weeks, starting next Sunday during Sunday school. We're doing a combined Sunday school class. The different gifts that you have are numerous, and they are unique to you. Your special mix of your natural given talents and your spiritual gifts is something that was given uniquely to you by God. That is something that we need to remember. There are no two people alike, and the spiritual gifts that you have been given and the talents that you have been given have been given to you by God, especially for you and for His purposes. Many different people have done great things with their spiritual gifts. Many people that you have not seen doing things with their spiritual gifts. There's some spiritual gifts that are up front that you see every week, and there's some people that have spiritual gifts that are behind the scenes. We have people that clean the church. Marcy cleans a church for no cost. She does that as part of her giving back to the church. You see Steve Trammell, who doesn't like to be up front or pointed out, but he does the late greeting and hands out bulletins along with Gary. Pat made the cover for the music stand or for the soundboard. Wanda comes in every morning and, along with other members of that class, fold the bulletins every week so that I don't have to. All of these people are examples, and I could go on. I could look at each one of you and tell you how you've served the church. But all of these people have been using their spiritual gifts for the betterment of the body. And as we'll talk about, the purpose of spiritual gifts is not so that we can feel better about ourselves or so we can have something to brag about, but the purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify and equip the church, to make the church do what God wants it to do. So let's begin by looking at one of the spiritual gifts passages. And if you turn in your Bibles, if you have your pew Bibles, you can turn there. It is Romans 12, 1-8, and it's page 1707, 1707, Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, excuse me. Beginning in verse 1, page 1707. Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Notice that our spiritual act of worship is to offer ourselves to God. It's not about what we can get. It's about offering something to God. And the word offer there is a verb. It's something that we do, something that we are continually to be doing. Verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." As we talk about this, you'll see that the spiritual gifts, as I've already said, are to do God's will, not our own will. And so when we go into this passage that now is going to specifically talk about gifts, we need to keep in mind these first two verses in the context that we are to offer ourselves, we are to be available to God to use those spiritual gifts. In context of this living a life that is pleasing to God, Paul continues in verse 3. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in according with the measure of faith God has given you." So the first step in discerning your spiritual gifts toward discovering what God has put in your heart to do is that you need to make an honest evaluation of yourself. Look at your strengths, look at your weaknesses, look at where you feel God might be leading you. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us," meaning that we don't get to choose what we have. "If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The common element in all of these gifts that Paul lists here is that we are to use it. It says, this is the gift, let him or her use it. We are to discover the gifts that God has given us, and then we are to use them. So, the first point on your outline, number one there, is why study spiritual gifts? And your first blank is study. Why study spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. We are commanded to know them. We are commanded to know what the spiritual gifts are, and specifically know our own spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians tells us that ignorance is not an excuse for not using them. You can't say, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is, so I'm not responsible for that. You can't say, oh, well, I don't even know if I have one, so I don't really have to worry about that. We all, as Christians, have one, and we are all to be using them. The next passage comes from 1 Timothy 4. It says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Number two is we are expected to use our spiritual gifts. If you haven't picked up on that theme, that's a theme that we're going to be talking about a lot. We are to use the gifts that we have. 1 Peter 4:10 to 11 in the New Living Translation says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. The purpose of our gifts is to glorify God. The purpose of our gifts is to glorify God. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Number four is everyone who is a believer in Jesus has been given at least one spiritual gift. Every single one of you who has professed Jesus as Lord, who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, has at least one spiritual gift that God has given you. And that spiritual gift is something that God wants you to use for his glory. Let's turn to Matthew 25. If you have your pew Bibles again, this will be our last passage. We look up, the rest of them will be on your sheet. But it's page 1493, Matthew 25. It's a familiar parable that we're going to read through in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. Page 1493. Beginning in verse 14, chapter 25. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. And I want to stop right there. Again, this shows you that these talents are given to you based on your ability, based on our own desires? No, they're based on God's ultimate wisdom. They're distributed not in a way that we may say is fair, like why doesn't everybody get 3 talents, an average amount or something like that. God in his wisdom has given talents to each one of us, and there are reasons that he has done that. Then the master went out on his journey, verse 16. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained you 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." So obviously the 3rd servant has a very different picture of the master than the other 2. He believes that the master is a hard man, which means a strict man, a stern man. And this is something that the other 2 servants don't bring up here. His master replied, verse 26, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." So here, even if the servant had done just the bare minimum, putting it in the bank is the symbolism here, the bare minimum, he would have at least done something with what he was given. Instead, he goes and buries it. When we talk about our spiritual gifts, are we even doing the bare minimum? Or are we hiding it? Are we keeping it to ourselves? God wants us to use what he has given us. Verse 28 says, "Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The punishment for the man who does nothing with his talent, nothing with what the master has entrusted him, is he is thrown into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. God is very serious about how we use what he has entrusted us. 1 Peter 4:10 also says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." To be a steward means to be a caretaker. It is to take what God has given us and entrusted to us and use it for God's glory. We are not the owners of our gifts. We are simply stewards of our gifts, and we will be held accountable for their use. We will be held accountable for their use. So why do we need to know our primary spiritual gift? Why do we need to know our primary spiritual gift? And you may have an idea where I'm going with this. Your spiritual gift, first of all, becomes the basis for making major decisions. And I say this because if you understand where your gifts are and what you have been particularly gifted to do, it helps dictate how and when you will spend your time. If you have a gift, you will be using it for God's glory. And by knowing what that gift is, you can be able to say no to some things and yes to other things because you know where your gifts are. Number 2 is that your spiritual gift is an affirmation of God's love for you. This reminds you that God loves you so much that not only did he send his son to die on the cross for your sins, the ultimate sacrifice, but he's also given you a gift as a result of that decision. He has given you a gift showing you that he loves you and wants to use you for his glory. Number 3 is a proper understanding of your spiritual gift keeps the work of Christ central in your heart and mind. Using your gift and knowing what your gift is helps us remember that we're not here for ourselves, but we are here to help other people, to serve other people, to watch other people come to Christ through the using of our gifts. We recognize that these gifts are coming from God, and that helps us keep Christ central. Chip Ingram has a quote from his book from Romans 12. He says, "Regardless of what God calls you to do, your primary spiritual gift and the passions placed in your heart will be the key to finding yourself in the place that you belong, doing the thing that you love, and making the impact that you were designed to make for the glory of God. Knowing what your giftedness is helps you make sure that you are using it in a way that God has asked you to use it. The emphasis, number four, is on using, and write in all caps on that line if you haven't already filled it in, using the gift God has given you. When we understand what our gifts is, then we can use it for God's glory. It does us no good to know what our spiritual gift is and then to sit around and do nothing. Number five, our gift is to be used for others. Our spiritual gift is to be used for others. Again, it's not to make us feel good. It's not to make us feel high and mighty. It is to serve the church and to serve other people. 1 Peter 4:10, a different version, says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, 1 Corinthians says. Another quote is, your supernatural ability to build others up to fulfill God's purpose will be aligned with your passions, experience, natural abilities, personality, pain, adversity, and circumstances, so that the Holy Spirit will show you in each season of your life your unique contribution to the lives of others. I love that quote because it helps us remember that you are going to have spiritual gifts that align with your natural passions, with your natural things that you like, because who made your natural passions? Who made you the way that you are? God. And God is not going to give you something contrary to your nature. Now, He may give you a gift in order to stretch you and to grow you in your faith, but normally those gifts are going to line up with how God has made you. So, how do we know what gifts we have? The first thing you can do is look at the lists of gifts. Now, the major lists, I think I put them on your outline there, are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. Now, there's some more that you could argue that are in there in different places, but those are the main places to look at what gifts there are. Look at those gifts and see what gifts you think you might have. You may already have an inkling of what God has gifted you with. Number two is to get trusted input. Ask your friends and your family members and those close to you what they think your gifts are, because oftentimes they are going to be able to see things that you may not. You may not see if you're a good teacher. You may not see if you're a good administrator. But your friends that know you and that are trusted friends in Christ may be able to help get you on the right track. The third way to help you know what gifts you have is to try something. Now, this may seem a little odd to you, but if you are not sure what your gift is, try something in a different ministry. Try, if you don't know what your ministry gift is, try teaching children's church a couple times. You'll know real quick if your gift is with kids. Try teaching, come up and preside. Maybe that's your gift. Maybe it's being on the board. Maybe it's following finances. Whatever it is, just try it. You're not committed to it for life. But try something. Pick a ministry and see how you like it, because your gifts may develop out of those passions. And number four is to take an inventory or assessment. Take a spiritual gifts inventory that will get you going on the right track. That's what we have for you. There's some still back in the back, or I can send you the email and you can do it on Excel. Now, that's probably the least effective way of finding out what your gift is of the four. But it at least gets you thinking in the right direction. No inventory or assessment is going to be perfect. And the gifts listed on here don't cover all the gifts that I think are in Scripture, but this is the most comprehensive free one that I could find. Would you have a word of prayer with me? God, I thank You for the way that You love us. I thank You that You love us so much that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. I thank You that You love us so much, God, that You have gifted each one of us with natural abilities, passions, and talents, and spiritual gifts, Lord, so that we may use them to edify the body and to build one another up in Christ. I pray that you would just guide us and direct us as we study this topic, and I pray that we would help each other to discover where you might be calling us to serve and to use those gifts that you've entrusted us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.